back to Sauce on the Side. How's it going, guys? Welcome back to Sauce on the Side for those who want an extra dip.
Ah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Somebody DM me that.
Nice.
I forgot her name, so I forgot to credit her. She will, much like many aspects of my career, forever go uncredited. Because that's the game. That's real life. That's how it happens.
That's it.
Your best work will be pilfered by others who will take it and benefit from it. And they'll never admit it. Not to name any names.
Those
nope.
Beep.
We'll beep it, but everybody knows. We saw her. And apparently she's doing it a lot. Anyway,
we won't go there. Stop.
Nevertheless, welcome back to Sauce on the Side, guys. How are you? A lot of messages after last week.
Mm.
Or after, no, not last week.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Quite the predicament.
Yes.
You got a lot of hate.
Yeah.
Did you get DMs as well?
No, and funny enough, I got a few messages. I think I was trying to...
be the everyman.
Yeah.
And it's coming back to bite you in the ass. Don't be agreeable. I've said this to Michael earlier about something else.
Mm.
Would anybody agree that we're at the moment, people who have any form of platform are doing too much fence-sitting?
Ah, yes.
There's a culture of fence-sitting that is ubiquitous across social media. I mean, we see it whenever there's a scandal, right? What was the Stephen Bartlett thing we spoke about recently? You know, all the influencers and people with public profiles who absolutely adore Stephen Bartlett and were sharing his videos to their stories for the last 10 years, acting like, you know, by sharing it to the story that makes them like sort of like him, an entrepreneur.
Also CEO.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, because if I share CEO shit, it's like the guy who posts a picture of his coffee cup with his steering wheel and his watch in the morning, and it's like the higher purchase Beamer, the tribal tattoo, do you know? And it's like, it's alluding to this idea of opulence.
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like all of these people were doing that. And then anyway, the scandal thing happened around the, you know, his culture of grifting, which is called out by people eventually, namely comments he made about having children and then the glasses of wine, of course. But then all of a sudden, the influencers wait like a week and a half. They realise the tide has turned and then they go for it. Then they stick the knife in.
Yeah.
They don't have any actual integrity.
No, not whatsoever.
And it's not just influencers. I do think we are somewhat existing in a culture of fence-sitting wherein people are afraid to go, do you know what? Fuck that.
Yeah.
Because why? Oh, you know, so...
may I explain myself?
You can, of course.
I didn't for a moment think that it was okay to be, you know, taking photos of someone's property, in their home, anything like that. I was more trying to... from the perspective of this sister-in-law to see what the maybe the initial, I'm stumbling on my words now because I'm nervous about getting slated again, the initial hurt or distrust came from.
Well, that's his excuse, folks. You can take it or leave it if you want. Somebody did message me, though, and she was like, I've made an anonymous complaint to the data commission for GDPR for taking the photo of the fridge. I'm going, hold on a second. Don't bring Megan into it. Don't be bringing the podcast into this. We are merely the... you can't also... how can you do that?
I'd like to report a complaint, please.
Cool. Who is it? Don't know.
No.
Don't know their name. Have you got a voice note? Yeah, I do. But that's the whole... you know, it's completely...
The voice has also been changed.
Also, is it a GDPR data breach to take a picture of, in someone's home?
If you shared it publicly, but it would be more like...
yeah. Well, look, either way, here we are. Guys, it's... it's a difficult situation and there have been some updates. So I will always choose my words carefully at this point, but I'm delighted to say that I'm enlisting the help of a professional. We have Dr. Tara Logan Buckley joining us this afternoon to share her wisdom on the situation. Because, I, to be honest, I was very reassured and renewed in spirit by the amount of people who messaged and commented in support of this woman. And at the end of the day... getting from A to B, B being health and well-being and feeling comfortable in yourself, it doesn't really matter what that vehicle is, unless, of course, it's drink, which that didn't work out very well for me. Do you know what I mean? But if you're, if you, whatever you have to do in life to keep yourself well between the ears, and if that means, you know, weight loss or getting into better physical shape and feeling better about yourself, like, so be it. And I made this point last week, but I think the fundamental judgment of other people's bodies is a problem. And I also absolutely abhor this idea of the race to thin and that one is only victorious or happy, or people should only be proud of people when they're thin. And I just think it's fucked. And we do all have such complicated relationships with our bodies, our own bodies and whatnot. But of course, women is a different ball game altogether, and without veering into performative male slop territory, I can't pretend to understand, and I can't pretend to know, so I just won't go any further. So, good girls. But no, no, I'm joking. Anyway, firmly against the sister-in-law. And tried to introduce a bit of balance in our conversation. But subsequent to the podcast, I went back and forth with the wife a little bit more. And she decided to go and meet the sister-in-law because she was actually sort of bolstered. She got more angry as the time went on, which I think is totally fair. I certainly can identify with that feeling of like, if something happens, you're fine. You get a bit pissed off, but then it festers and you start, I don't want to say ruminating because that suggests that it's unjustified, but you know, you start really going over the slight that this person has caused you, and as a result, you get more angry. So anyway, she went to go and meet the sister-in-law. Everybody chimed in with what their thoughts were. Then, which is a groundbreaking moment for the show.
Okay.
We had a husband who actually grew a pair of balls and stood up for his wife.
Let's go. We're getting through to people.
Few and far between. But I got a message from her husband. So just to be clear here, the woman who sent in the voice note, it's her husband's sister who took the picture.
Okay.
There was confusion there. Some people thought that it was her brother's wife, but no, it was her... Oh, God, it's the wife's husband's sister. So anyway, he messaged. That's why he was in a tricky place from the start. But he started messaging me and was like a lovely guy. Now, to be fair, he's biased because he listens to the podcast and actually was the one that encouraged her to get in touch with us in the first place. Nevertheless, he was in the garage whenever they went to meet. He sent me a voice note.
Right.
It's absolute. I don't want to say it's iconic. It's just, I think the bar has been set low, so low in previous instances in terms of the mother situation from a couple of weeks ago being swaddled by the son, and then the husband in our Northern Irish bride saga. Whereas this guy just seems like a decent fella who is, in my, just standing beside his wife, standing by his wife whenever he should. So whenever she said that she was going to meet the sister-in-law, the only way back for the sister-in-law, I would have thought, is complete apology and to say, I don't know what got into me, but to be honest, if she was really struggling that bad with her own self-image that she said, I was driven demented and that just pushed me and I'm sorry, I made a mistake, how will you ever forgive me? I still think it's up to the wife to decide whether or not she wants to forgive, of course, whatever, but that would be the only route. I was flabbergasted at the approach that the sister-in-law had to this.
Okay.
But I unfortunately know a lot of people like this in life, wherein if they feel like they're being called out for their behaviour, not only do they reach for justifications of said behaviour, they actually just throw back at you things that they think that you've done wrong. Yes. So how can you criticise me? Anyway, look, it will be an aggravating listen to some of you. So just hold on to your hats, hold on to your hearts, but let's hear it for the husband and let's see what he has to say.
Morning, lads. Unfortunately, there won't be much crack to be had out of this one. I know said it to you the other day, but I've been following the show for a couple of years now, and I've it on most mornings. Anyway, said, I better send you a voice note because we don't want to be wasting your time. And I know you were very good to her over the weekend with the messages from the followers and stuff like that. But, well, look, I won't sugarcoat it. The conversation with my sister was a disaster, and there won't be any further meetups happening. I'd said we better meet up after contacting the podcast the other night anyway, even just to clear the air and be civil. Deep down, I hadn't a notion of clearing the air because this was really the straw that broke the camel's back for me. My wife is usually much more patient with her. That's why she even tried the gym class with her. But I mostly did it for my father, to show that we were trying. See, she's actually my half-sister and has only been in my life for around 5 years since he remarried, and already she's caused enough damage to beat the band. Last night, we drove out because it's the only petrol station you can get a coffee in late in the day in, and I just waited in the car. I could see through the window as went over to the table and she barely had half a cup of tea, drank before she was up and out, walking over to me again. My sister, in all of her wisdom, decided to come clean and tell her she had sent the picture into a group chat. She's still in with those people from their bike class last year too. She then tried to double down and suggest my wife was the problem for misleading her, or making it out like her weight loss was from pure exercise and nothing else. She then says, if my wife didn't want a photo taken, why would she have asked her to get something out of the fridge in the first place? You couldn't write it. I was fit to go back in myself and tell her to shove the phone up her hole. But calmed me down and we just fucked off home. So yeah, there it is. We'd really only see each other every 6 months or so. But I think we'll be giving the next encounter a miss for the time being. Anyway, Mark, sorry it wasn't a better one for you. But if it means anything to you, my wife is very appreciative for those messages. She's probably more comfortable now about the Ozempic than she was last week, so it's great.
Wow.
I am utterly speechless.
What? Okay, firstly, finally, just a husband being sound.
Completely.
Is that so much to ask?
Who would have thought?
Just a long-term listener. There you go. All the long-term listeners are level-headed individuals.
Yeah. Listen to the roast.
Listen to the roast, you become more balanced. That is the way that it works. Laughing at ourselves is good for us. Mm. Nevertheless, let's get into the sister first. The sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Okay, the fact that she's the half-sister and came into your life late, whatever. Mm. The argument of why would you have asked me to get something from your fridge is, honest to God, the most cornered rat approach to a discussion I've ever... That is like Mark Megan age 4. Genuinely.
It's 34.
Why would I not have thrown the stones at my Nana's car? Why would... You put me in the garden, there's stones there. What did you expect?
Completely.
Do you know, it's preposterous. And that level of like... Sorry, okay, sending it into the group chat for the gym. You're a bully. You're actually just a complete bully.
Completely.
As soon as I hear that, bullying in that sort of like send it into the group... It's so toxic. You are, and I'm not going to sit in the fence for this one. I think you are so much better off without a relationship with this person. Half sister, full sister, two sisters. I'm just watching. Do you know what I mean? No, I'm joking.
The old Gareth Keenan.
Two sisters. I'm just watching. But like, it doesn't matter how close you are to this person. I think at this day and age, if someone's behaving like that, oh, sorry, perfect example. There was a guy who I used to know, an older friend, like a friend that I'd sort of grown apart from, but you know, one of those friends you see like every 6 months for a coffee.
Sure.
A month or two before my wedding, he got on to me and he was sending me screenshots of the WhatsApp group he's in with a bunch of lads from the year above me in school who were all like, they use this WhatsApp group to like, take me apart.
Yeah.
And like, oh, look at this. Oh, nobody listens. Could you imagine who listens to his podcast? What a loser. Cool. You lads are in your late 30s. You're fucking losers.
Yeah.
You are losers.
You're actually losers.
100,000 a month, by the way. Just in case you're wondering if you want to see
and
the facts.
100,000 followers.
So you could come to the Olympia. Sorry, that's all out, unfortunately. Enjoy whatever it is you derive value from. But you know what I mean? It's like putting stuff into groups to sort of instigate a group like assault on this woman is actually appalling and
disgusting.
There is initially I was thinking if she really apologized about maybe if she was drunk at a festival. No, sorry. Do you know what? Because I'm then getting lost into the distribution of the image.
Yeah,
it's actually the fact that she took the image in the first place is the grave betrayal because it's done in a toxic, mean, vicious way. You are taking a it's like premeditated bullying. You're taking this picture to use it against the person at a later stage. You don't even know when, by the way. Because, you know, she only said it's the when she met the friend at the gig in Marley Park, she only did that because there you go. But then it turns out she also put it into this WhatsApp group. I hope if anybody here is listening and who was in that WhatsApp group, I hope you like boot her out of it and say, this is a gym group. There is absolutely no place for at the very least, sharing somebody's private medical information, but B, bullying, because we're all here for the same reasons, to self-improve, whether it's physically or mentally, because people use the gym for every reason. Do you know what I mean? I think that is the worst and meanest contribution we have ever had to the show.
I totally agree. And I would like to pole vault back over the fence to the other side. There is no space in which I will justify that or see her perspective. She's just a nasty person.
Are you at the pole vaulting stage yet of the journey? Because that's pretty far. No, but sorry. If you're in, I don't know what age she is, but I'm assuming from his voice and from seeing his picture and her picture, I'm assuming, let's just say they're all similar ages. They're in their late 30s, early 40s. if you are behaving, in fact, I would say definitely mid-40s, because she was on, what's the RTE show?
Operation Transformation.
They rarely have people in there. Oh, no, they do have some young people, don't they?
Yeah, but that finished about 9 years ago.
So oh, so yeah, so basically, yeah, so honestly, she's probably unlikely to be younger than late 30s. For the sister-in-law to be carrying on like that, you know, again, irrelevant that she's only been in these people's lives for 5 years. I don't know what's worse, to be honest, whether if she'd known them for longer. But to be behaving like this in your late 30s, I think you need to sit down with yourself and say, it's not them.
No.
It's not them. It's not the Ozempic. It's not anything else. It's me.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, it probably comes back to your own issues of self-worth. But unfortunately, that's not good enough, because your conduct, no more than like, say, drinking, you can say, oh, I drink problematically because I feel lonely. Mm. Cool. But if your behavior is affecting other people, that's unfortunately, they have a right to distance themselves from you. And that's completely, that's the reality. Your lack of self care, unfortunately, doesn't change the fact that you're negatively impacting people's lives. And those two things can coexist. So I'm appalled that that sister-in-law did that. I'm delighted to hear that the coffee was short-lived.
Yes.
I'm delighted to hear that the husband is like, good luck, get fucked. Yeah. We're gone. And it's a sad situation, but I believe that this woman, who is on her journey of self-betterment across the board, you know, from a health perspective, I do think she will be better as a result of not having somebody like this in her life.
Completely agree.
That's my instinct. I think we should speak to Dr. Laura Hogan Buckley.
Yes.
Let's see what she says. Sorry, was there anything else in the voice note? No?
No.
But I'm just, the sending it to the gym chat is just fucking sent me.
It's disgusting.
It's enraged
disgusting.
Me, in yeah. fact. So, let us know your thoughts, but well done for actually taking action and saying good luck to you, because that's a really hard thing to do.
And I even think just standing up and walking away, because
yeah.
you're not going to change someone.
No, and also, you get a lot of people saying, you know, oh, blood is thicker than water and stuff. So what?
Yeah.
Life is too, yes, blood is whatever, and family is family, but life is too short to be around people who are actively trying to tear you down.
Completely.
Because fuck me, like, that is just, you deserve, everybody deserves better than that. Mm. So, guys, it is such a pleasure to announce that we have an expert in our midst. Dr. Tara Logan Buckley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me on. It's great.
So, in 4 to 5 sentences, could you just give us a little bit of your background so the listener knows that we're only using cast iron experts for the show, and it's not just me and Michael sort of pontificating in the studio?
Sure, that's putting me under pressure now. So I suppose I have worked, I suppose, across the lifespan in numerous different settings. So from public to private, even in forensic settings as well. I specialise in the area of trauma, attachment, neurodiversity and in weight management as well. And I've been practised for numerous amount of years.
Yeah, wow, that's ridiculously succinct. And thank you so much. That's embarrassing. Like, the amount of experience you have is, humbling. So thank you for joining us. I suppose everybody listening knows why we're here. We shared with you the initial message that I was sent on the weekend, and I probably just won't get in the way. I would love to just hear your thoughts. I, you know, any question that I could ask won't be as intelligent as your response. So will I just hand you over the microphone and let you give us your initial reaction anyway to the message?
Sure. So I might start with asking you a few questions. Is that okay with you? Because I would love to kind of get someone else's view on this as well. So
sure.
I'm going to ask a few. Have you ever gone into someone's house and taken a picture of their fridge?
No. No,
okay.
I have not.
You haven't. Have you known anyone else to ever do that?
No. Until this situation, no. Although, no, I have not. I have not.
You haven't. Okay. Same as that. And now I'm going to ask you something a little bit layered. Have you ever gone into someone's home and looked in their medicine cabinet? So maybe gone into the bathroom, opened up that medicine cabinet, friend, family's house, and taken a picture of their medicine?
No, absolutely not.
No, I didn't think so. So this is where I kind of want to start with this, is why does someone actually open up a fridge and take a picture of what it is? It's a controlled medicine. Ozempic is actually a prescribed medication. So why is it just because something is, and sorry, these are also called GLP, so I might refer to them as a GLP throughout as well. Why is it okay to do that when there is a GLP in the fridge? What gives someone that right to do that? And I suppose that's where I kind of want to start, because for me, actually, that's the biggest violation in all of this, in all of, I suppose, the message that we got in there as well, is that actually someone went into this lady's kitchen, opened up their fridge and photographed it inside without her knowledge. Now, even just take away the medication for a moment. This alone is a really, really unusual kind of boundary crossing behavior to do in someone's home, particularly, you know, where you're a guest. You've documented something that's personal to them, and anyone else, even when there's no medication involved, they would find that a little bit unsettling or unusual, I think, on their own.
I completely agree. Can I ask you, can I answer with a question? And I think it's an important one that's been raised a lot over the last few days when we're discussing this, is that, okay, well, like, I think acknowledging the act as being appalling, right, is one thing. But there is, I think we have to accept the fact that there does seem to be a culture of using GLP-1s is, like, quote-unquote, cheating. Now, I obviously do not think that, and I'm not suggesting that that is the case by any means, but in terms of this person's motives in taking the photo, and certainly from some of the messages that I've received, there does seem to be, within some people, a belief that taking a GLP-1 is a cheating your way to getting thin. And that's why there's clearly a stigma around it, as we've learned over the last few days. And I'm just wondering, do you have any, I mean, you know, you're the expert when it comes to weight and the weight related stuff. Like, why do you think that there is that sense of cheating? And yeah, why does that exist? Like,
sure. So this is very, very layered, actually. So the first one is, there has always been a stigma around weight. So if we kind of look at the research, anyone that carries weight, they're automatically stigmatized in society. They're seen as lacking willpower. They don't actually get jobs that they go for. They're usually on lower salaries. So that's actually something that's built into our culture, that's always been there. It's kind of like, you know, in order to lose weight, you have to work really hard. You have to sacrifice. There has to be a willpower element. And if you don't hit all of those things straight away, it's a stigma. That's what it is. And what's after happening now is that there's a real heavy layer of moral judgment around weight loss, and particularly around these GLPs, these drugs as well, that it's an easy and it's a lazy route to take, actually. But the thing is, it's actually not. For anyone that understands what a GLP does, a GLP is actually a tool. So a very simple question. Have you ever lost weight by just having a gym membership?
No.
No, actually, a gym membership is actually a tool. Whether you use that gym membership actually determines the outcome of that tool. It's the same with a GLP. Being on a GLP doesn't actually mean that you're going to lose weight. For a lot of people, actually, that's not the cause. It gives them an awful lot of side effects. You have to use it as a tool. And research shows time and time again that if you don't change your behavior to the reason that maybe weight was an issue for you in the first place, and maybe you don't go to therapy, or you don't change eating habits or see what suits your body, you end up actually putting all of that weight back on. And not only that weight, you actually end up putting on more, because it's a survival response. So even though we have learned that actually this is a lazy route, it's actually not. It's a tool like everything else. It's just this tool is becoming more accessible to people to use it. But if you don't use it correctly, and people forget about that actually it's a really difficult thing to use. And actually, if you don't keep it up afterwards, you're actually worse than where you were before.
Yeah, I completely understand that. Even from like a anecdotal and personal sense, like I have ADHD, and my ADHD medication has absolutely transformed my life. Like the treatment of ADHD, but the medication has enabled me to treat the ADHD and also then look at my behaviors and be aware of things and introduce like, structures and templates to my existence that I wasn't able to before. But if not monitored, like if I was to just like oftentimes weekends, that's when I have a weird relationship with my meds, because like I could take my ADHD meds on a Saturday morning and without realizing I've lost 3 hours on YouTube to Chinese dogs. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like I go into hyper focus on that one thing. Whereas, as you say, it's sort of akin to the GLP reference. Like it's a tool that whenever I want to be productive and get up and implement a plan and structure to my day, the ADHD med is amazing. But it's not this drug like Limitless with Bradley Cooper, which is what I had initially thought, you know?
Absolutely. And that's such a lovely point that you make there, actually, because if we think about it, everyone thinks that a GLP is around vanity, right? And that's not the case. people forget that actually there's a lot of underlying reasons that people mightn't even realize they take this. Let's say for women in particular, polycystic ovaries, it can be very, very difficult to lose weight with that. It can be very difficult to lose weight if you're insulin resistant. Also, if you've lipedema, which is predominantly female as well. So you've got all of these conditions where people have tried to use weight throughout their life. And if we think about the classic GLP user, they have maybe dieted for years, if not decades, to try. And eventually they're given a tool that can finally help them to get to a weight that is more healthy for them and that they start to feel better about themselves. We're also starting to see it actually in a lot of perimenopausal women and menopausal women, where actually that weight gain comes and it's very difficult to shift that. Whereas the GLP can be an amazing tool to help women there before, where actually might have been very difficult.
Wow. Yeah, that's it's really fascinating. I think this idea as well of, you know, somebody just, it's, you know, when I trip myself up with it, but it's almost like with ADHD, just to use that example, because that's my experience. People act like, oh, everyone just willy-nilly is going out and getting a diagnosis. It's like, you do realise how difficult it is and expensive and time-consuming it is to receive a diagnosis. And usually what brings people through the doors, or like in recovery, myself and Michael are both in recovery, you know, I've had comments before from people saying, oh, you couldn't possibly be an alcoholic because blah, blah, blah. It's like, you do realise, like, in order to go and get help, things have to be bad for, like, so long that you eventually forfeit doing it yourself. No more than with the GLP-1s. Like, the people that have messaged me over the last few days, for all of them, every single person that has messaged me, it was their last resort, and they were so terrified and like petrified of the stigma, but also they didn't even of taking something new, and this massive medication, it's a huge change. So the idea that someone's just going out to the local dispensary and going, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind looking nice for Marbella in 2 weeks, you know, it's just, that's nonsense.
Yeah, so on that, you know, this isn't an easy decision. Like, you are putting a medication into your body, you know, even though it's been in trials for years, we don't have massive longitudinal data on it. So, you know, you're choosing that. There is an awful lot of side effects with it. And for a lot of the side effects, it's the reason that a lot of people come off these. So even though it's a last tool for most people when they go on them, also, it actually mightn't work for them. You know, the side effects can actually be very, very chronic. But obviously living with weight for them is a lot worse. So that's a choice that they have to make as well. You know, it's such a hard thing. And it usually isn't a willy-nilly decision, as you said, for people to go on these, very much like people going through recovery or going through ADHD medication. It is normally a very, very long process before someone gets there. And, you know, particularly if we look in Ireland, there's so many different criteria that you have to meet before being prescribed one of these medications. Now, don't get me wrong, I know you can go off market and buy them from people that aren't reputable and things like that as well. Obviously, we don't promote any of those type of things, because it is really important that you're also monitored while on these because of the actual side effects. Particularly if you lose weight too quickly, you can end up with having gallbladder issues. You can also end up with hair loss. You need to be able to check your bloods. You need to be on supplements while you're doing it as well. So this isn't an easy thing to actually take on board. It's a whole life transformation that's very difficult.
And I suppose, to get into the nitty-gritty, because I know time is precious and we only have you for so long, what do you think, Tara, in this situation, like, how, what would your, you know, look, it's obviously you only have a certain amount of snapshot, a window of context, so I'm not expecting you to, you know, prescribe any major life decisions to anybody, but how do you think one would navigate a situation like this when somebody has betrayed you to the extent of taking a picture of the inside of your fridge? And also, by the way, just to let you know, her husband has been in touch to say that not only had this his sister sent it to the shown it to the friend at a gig, she actually also sent it into this group where they used to do the biking class, in a WhatsApp group, which, as far as I'm concerned, that's just out and out bullying. And you know,
yeah, absolutely. That's like, I've a lot of problems here. The first I said was that physical, like that physical almost violation of someone's home. The second part I have is the problem that this wasn't a picture of something like a messy fridge. This was a medication. You know, we have laws around this. Like, you know, medication is a sensitive information. It's a special category of data because your health information is one of the most private informations that you can hold. As you said, it is bullying. It's absolutely gossiping. And even on that, what here is that actually this was never from a place of concern. This was actually used to weaponize this person to bring them back down as well. So a few things, just if I can give a little bit of advice. The first thing I would say is always separate the feeling from the decision. So this person has every single right to feel furious, to feel angry, to feel dismissed, to feel sad, and to validate that they all should be there. And actually, she needs to allow that space for that as well. But what I would say is never to make a life-changing, maybe, I suppose, choice on the back of those emotions. So I would always say, leave them be there, let them settle for a bit. The second thing I would do is, if she felt that she wanted to, is I would then go and speak with the sister-in-law. But this is how I would frame it. I would not frame it around Ozempic or the medication or whether it was a debate. It would be very much, this is the breach. It would be something like, you took a photo inside my home. This was my medication, which is private, without telling it to me. You then showed it to someone and then you showed it, put it into a whole group. This is the problem. My medication and my weight loss is not up for discussion, but what is up for discussion is your behavior. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is I would see what comes from that. And it might be a decision, you know, we do have a middle ground. Obviously, one is you can completely cut the person off. If it is that actually, you know, this is a family member, I do need to keep it. What I would do is I would turn the relationship into where I'm control and I have the boundary. So it'd be like, okay, I will be accommodating at a family event. However, this person's not going to step foot into my house again. We're not going to have any kind of close relationship. It will only be X, Y, Z, and to keep that boundary where it is. So actually they're taking control back. And the last thing I would say to this person is you have absolutely nothing to be ashamed about or nothing to be embarrassed about. This shame does not lie with you. Actually, this shame and embarrassment lies with your sister-in-law, the person that took that. And the thing is, for people with this lady's kind of history of weight loss, there will automatically probably be a lot of shame there from her past experiences and not being able to keep weight off. However, not here. You are doing an amazing job and using the tools. And please don't sit in that shame. Allow that your sister-in-law to hold every single bit of that.
That's really, really valuable. Thank you so much. Tara, if people are listening and they're really relating with what you have to say, which I'm assuming is the case, I know myself and Michael certainly are, where can they, get in touch with you? Do you private practice, don't you?
I certainly do, yeah. So I do assessment and I do therapy as well.
Okay. And do you have, just want to mention your website and just so people know where they can find you? We'll obviously include a link as well.
Yeah, sure. So Reflection Psychology Services, or if you just Google Tara Logan Buckley, my Facebook or my Instagram will come up and I reply to those as well.
Amazing. Well, listen, thank you so much for sharing your time with us, but also your insight and expertise. It's a seriously weighted, if you'll allow the pun, serious subject matter. And it's unfortunate we have such short time because it's so layered. But I really appreciate you coming on today and talking to us. So thank you so much and we wish you all the best.
Great. Thank you so much.